Welcome to Amplified Houston on 90.1 KPFT Pacifica Radio in Houston, Texas, 89.5 in Galveston, 91.9 in Huntsville, and streaming online at kpft.org. Amplified Houston is a collaboration of five nonprofit organizations: Baker Ripley, Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Houston, Children at Risk, the Women's Home, the Houston Food Bank, and Houston's community radio station, KPFT Pacifica Radio. Listeners, all the programs you hear on KPFT are listener supported. Become a sustaining member today by calling 713-526-5738 and pressing option 1. I am your host, Anna Coffey, and this is Amplified Houston, the Women's Edition, where we talk to women doing hard things. In today's show, we'll speak with Shirou Mukhtiar, President and CEO of I Am Houston. But first, I want to let you know that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by The Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds for The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop or call 713-526-4663. All right, let's get to the show. Shirou, I am so excited to have you here today. You've always been one of my good nonprofit buddies, and I'm delighted to have this opportunity to interview you formally, and I'm excited for our audience to meet you too.
Anna, thank you so much for having me. Good morning, everyone.
So Shirou, please share with our listeners about I Am and what the mission is, and just tell us a little bit about the services that you offer.
Sure. So I Am Houston, which was formerly known as Interfaith Ministries for Greater Houston. I think that's how most people know about I Am. It's a community-based organization that has been around for almost 60 years. We were founded on the premise of bringing people together from different faith traditions for dialogue and service. And of course, the organization has evolved for many years, but the four main areas of service are the Meals on Wheels program, which is in Houston as well as Galveston County. We deliver meals, of course, to our homebound seniors. And also as part of that, we offer an Anna Meals program, which provides food and supplies for their furry friends. We also have the Refugee Resettlement Program, through which we work with our legal refugees who are fleeing violence and persecution, and provide them with opportunities and resources that will help them become self-sufficient in our community. We also have our Interfaith Relations and Community Partnerships program, which allows us to bring people of different faith traditions, beliefs, cultures to come together in dialogue and service. And then last but not the least, we also operate the Volunteer Houston program, which helps us connect thousands of volunteers across the greater Houston area to nonprofits and community service opportunities that exist within the region. So with all of this, we have a robust operation that is right here in Greater Houston. And then we also have offices for our Meals on Wheels program in Galveston County.
Oh, that's wonderful. IAM is such a great organization. Y'all do great work. And some of these are really hot topics right now, some of the areas that you work in. I'm curious about you though, Shirou. You've had a lot of leadership roles across diverse sectors. Can you help us understand kind of what was your path to I Am and what called you to this work in particular? Maybe just start with a little bit of a rundown of other organizations that you've worked for, because you're new to I Am. And so I'm curious, like, what was the evolution of coming from those other organizations and then landing at I Am?
I love that question. It helps me kind of go back to the over 30 years now in the nonprofit sector. I started as a program coordinator at a residential facility in Omaha, Nebraska, and here I am in Houston. But as I said, I've been in the nonprofit sector for over 30 years. I've been very fortunate to be a part of many different organizations in different states. So I've lived in Florida, California, Nebraska, Missouri, and of course now Texas. Every organization had a different mission, and so I really was able to learn a lot about different populations and different service areas. So I've done everything from education, the arts, transitional housing, youth services, workforce development, and now, of course, I am Houston. What has really helped kind of tie all of these experiences together is my belief in people that we serve and the people that we serve with. And for the people that we serve, it's typically populations that are overlooked, that are underserved, that may not have the opportunities that perhaps other people may have. And so, really, finding ways to empower them with opportunity and resources so that they can be anything that they choose to be. And I think the other part of that is also over the years and being with different organizations, is understanding the power of community. And that's community within our organizations, but also the greater community. And especially in Houston, I've been here for 13 years now, and I continue to be fascinated with how the community pulls together, regardless of what it is, whether it's disaster, whether it's climate change, climate-related issues, or even just what nonprofit organizations need. So it's really the power of community and being able to make a difference in the community. As a first-generation immigrant, as a social worker, as a woman of color, IAM is kind of a culmination of all of those values and things that I hold personally dear to my heart. And so this really was, when this opportunity came my way, it was more than just, another job. It truly feels like I'm home. This is where I need to be. This is where I want to be. And I'm looking forward to learning and growing with the organization.
That's great. Yeah, that's an interesting aspect. You are a first generation immigrant and now you serve immigrants. And of course we all know that this is a difficult time for the immigrant population. I wonder if you could share a little bit about, how your perspective of all of these challenges in immigration right now, and also how is it really affecting the people you serve at IAM? Because it is a big part of what y'all do. And I know you serve people who are here legally and people who are probably fleeing some very difficult situations in their home countries. So can you reflect on that for us just a little bit?
Sure. Like every nonprofit, IAM is also dealing with its share of challenges and uncertainties related to funding and changing policies and priorities. So that's a given. That's something that, we're all trying to figure out what it means for our particular organization. But I look at it in a slightly different way. I look at it as an opportunity for us to hone in on what we do well and also explore opportunities to partner with other organizations and better leverage our resources. I think it's situations like this that really force us, especially in the nonprofit community, to look at cost cutting. How can we modify our services so that we can still be impactful, but also prioritize where the needs are? We've had to, in the short time that I've been at IAM, we've had to look at redirecting some of our departments. We've had to learn what to do without. And I don't think that that's necessarily a bad thing. It does make it harder and it does make it challenging. But it is what it is, and we have to figure out a way where we can continue to create our impact, we can continue to scale, and really and truly continue to make a difference within our community. I have found some incredible partnerships in the short time that I've been with IAM that I think will really allow us to leverage the limited resources that we have, but also get very innovative in how we approach the challenges that lie before us.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Like, necessity is the mother of invention, right? And
Absolutely.
nonprofits who are able to adapt to all of the rapid changes in our sector right now are going to come out stronger and better at the end. And I know that's what you're doing for IAM right now. Charu, our show focuses on women who are doing hard things. You definitely fit that category. I know you've dealt with a lot of hard things, in the world in general, and in different sectors that you've served in, and certainly now taking over at IAM at a time of rapid change. But I wonder if you could share with our listeners one experience, either personal or professional, that was really challenging for you, and how that impacted your leadership.
I'm going to start at the beginning, and that's when, at the age of 19, I decided that I wanted to pursue a higher education in the United States. My intention was, of course, to get my master's degree and then, of course, go back to India, which is where I'm originally from. And moving to this country with almost no resources in hand, and not knowing anyone in this country, we didn't have family here. We didn't. I had the phone number of a distant relative, who I had never met, and that was. And I had my admission papers, for the university, and so and a one-way plane ticket. That's important to note. So I came with that. I had scholarships for my first semester, and just learning how to navigate through all of that. And as you said earlier, just being adaptable, being open to change, being strong through the whole situation, not having a whole lot of choices. I think it again forced me to be who I am today. I think it shapes who I am, not just as a person, but also as a leader. And so I had to learn very quickly how to make the most of very little and just the limited resources that I had. I had to learn how to network and build my own personal and professional support system. And oftentimes, especially in the 90s, I was probably the first, the only woman and an immigrant, for that matter, that would be at a lot of tables. My first opportunity as an executive director for a transitional housing program in St. Louis, Missouri, very quickly after I was appointed, we had funding that was approved for a new transitional apartment building. And I knew nothing about architecture. I knew nothing about construction. I was a social worker. I thought I was hired to, serve young teen moms and their children and, focus on the program elements. And very quickly, I learned a lot, as much as I needed to know about construction and how to build a transitional housing program, a long-term transitional housing program for the moms. So it just it's learning how to use the information and the resources that you have available and asking for help. That was one of the main lessons that I've learned throughout my career, is knowing who to ask for help and then using some of those gold nuggets to so that you can implement that in your day-to-day.
It's so important. We're going to take a quick break to talk about how this radio show is coming to you. KPFT takes no advertising dollars at all, and almost every one of the people who work to bring you this show are volunteers. Please call 713-526-5738 and press option one to become a sustaining member today. You know, Sheree, before the break, you were talking about just kind of like having to experience this huge shift in your life at the very young age of 18, 19, coming over to the United States and having to really kind of figure it out on your own. That is so similar to the experience that I had at 21, going over to be a Peace Corps volunteer in West Africa and just being dumped literally in the bush with, you know, not very many resources. At that time, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have the internet, you know, and just having to fend for myself. And I think that was such a pivotal moment in my life. And so it's no wonder that you and I share that kind of sense of adaptability and, you know, we'd make it work no matter what.
Absolutely. When you have limited choices, you know, the only way is to make it work. And I was going to say the same thing. That's why I admire you so much, Anna, for the resilience that you have. And, you know, just you don't take no for an answer. And, you know, it's like, let's figure it out. We have to figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I tell my staff, you know, when we're facing an issue, you know, it's figure outable. We can figure this out. There's almost nothing that's not figure outable.
I love that. You made a new word, figure outable.
You make it work. You make it work. Yeah. So, Sheree, I want to go back to the stuff you were talking about as being an immigrant and coming to this country and really, you know, having to make it work and figure it out. You know, that's an experience that is shared by many people in our community, because Houston is one of the most diverse places, you know, in the world, that is as far as big cities go. So what advice would you have for somebody who's just starting out, who's just arriving in this country and maybe is in that stage of trying to figure it out? Like, what would you tell them?
Yeah, first I think it's important for us to be who we are. I one of the things that the advice that I got very early on, because I was trying to become Americanized. I was trying to be what I thought people wanted me to be as a person in my personal life, but also as a professional. And over the years, with all the amazing mentors that I've had, the best piece of advice was just be who you are, follow your gut, be authentic, and, you know, stay focused on what you need to achieve, whether it's your education, whether it's professional goals or personal goals for that matter, just staying focused. And then the second part of that is seize the opportunities that are coming your way. I think so often, you know, I used to keep telling myself, I wish I just had the opportunity to do this. And the opportunity was there, but I wasn't, you know, jumping in and doing what I needed to do. So really, even though it is a terrifying experience not to have the support, not to have the resources, I think there are opportunities that help shape us, but they are available. You just have to look and then be able to jump in and do what's needed. The last thing I will say about that is, you know, we don't have to have the answers to everything. I strongly believe that we'll figure it out. Like you said, everything is figure outable. And once you're in it, you have the right people on your team. You have mentors. You find resources. Things will work out. And the things that don't work out, it's okay. Let it go. Focus on what is working out, move forward with that. And there's always a path.
Oh, that's such good advice, not just for people who are new to the United States, but for everyone starting off in their career and for everyone who's in a point of maybe having low confidence or, you know, I'm not sure I can do this. Am I really ready for this kind of thing? Yeah, I love that advice. Be who you are, seize the opportunity and figure it out. Those are all great, great mantras. So I'm curious, Sheree, If there is a story from Meals on Wheels or from your immigrant resettlement program or another program that is run by IAM that you want to share with our listeners, that really shows why the work that we do in the nonprofit sector and particularly at IAM is important. Do you have a story to share with us?
Yeah, and I'm so glad you asked that. You know, one of my favorite stories in the short time that I've been at IAM is during my first week, I had the opportunity to deliver meals. And I went with one of our team and a couple of guests that we had from out of town. And we delivered five, we delivered meals to five homebound seniors in our community. And what really struck me and stood out for me almost instantly was that we were doing a lot more than delivering food. For many of our seniors, we are probably the only human contact that they will have throughout the day. But it was more than dropping off the hot meal. It was more than that just that human contact. The conversations that we had in the 15, 20 minutes that we were there at each location, the resources that we were able to share, the stories that they shared with us about who they were and the careers that they had had and the family that they have perhaps overseas or in a different state, and then just knowing about all of the needs that they have related to housing or healthcare or debt consolidation. I mean, just the whole spectrum of what we are able to do in that short period of time was mind-blowing. I mean, I was just so taken aback. I didn't realize that we were doing so much more than just delivering a meal. And so that is something that, I've kind of used as kind of my guiding light in the work that we are doing at IAM is really using that as a foundation for some of the tough decisions that we have to make. There are seniors that need us more than ever. They need more than just the meal that we're delivering. They need a lot of these resources. So even on days when, you have to make some very hard decisions, you realize that there is a much bigger purpose to that. And by making those decisions, you're doing much more than just fulfilling a programmatic obligation. You're truly changing a life.
That's so beautiful. Yeah, I think it's you're so right that that program is not it's more about more than just delivering food and sustenance. It is a welfare check, really, and it's a human connection, which we know now is one of the most important aspects of aging gracefully and
With
being able
dignity.
to live on your own for a longer time. So
Absolutely.
I love that. I actually have a little private Meals on Wheels program myself. I have a couple of elderly family couples and even singles who I will cook for once in a while and bring food around to them and just check in on them just because I love being in the presence of our elders and I learn so much from them and it's just a nice connection to that generation and to see how people age and to kind of experience that that wisdom. So yeah, I kind of dig Meals on Wheels
Love it. I'm
personally.
going to have to get you to come on one of our delivery.
Oh, I would love that. I would absolutely
Yes.
love that.
I'm going to sign you up, Anna, as a volunteer.
Except that I like to bring them my home-cooked Italian food.
Ooh. You can bring that for me.
Okay. All right. Well, we just have a few minutes left here, Sharu, and I've got a couple more questions that I was really eager to ask you. For women navigating personal or professional crossroads, what insight or encouragement would you offer them from your own journey?
I was sharing this with you before the show started that even though this is my fifth transition to a nonprofit, the difference is that I think I'm a little bit wiser than I was in some of my previous transitions. And The one thing that I have learned to rely on is that gut feeling, that inner voice. Even though sometimes it's quiet, I know that it's my guiding light. It's something that I need to listen to, and it usually provides a path for what the next step needs to be.
Oh, that is such good advice to really tune into your intuition and your gut feeling about something. It's normally right. And a lot of times we especially as women, I think we kind of override it. And we kind of rationalize and we silence that voice. But I have found every time I have trusted that voice, it has led me in the right direction. So I think that's
Absolutely.
great advice. Yeah. All right. So last question. I like to hear from my colleagues in the nonprofit world. What is one little thing that brings you joy?
It's not little at all. It's my family, my daughters. I have a 24-year-old and a 19-year-old. They're young ladies now, but I cherish every moment that we spend with them. We look for ways in which we can create new memories, even if it's just hanging out together and doing nothing. That's the best part of having young the people around you and really just listening to them, listening to their ideas, listening to their world is just so refreshing and it's so full of hope. And so being with my family is my greatest joy. That's what brings me stability. That's what brings me peace of mind. It's the best thing ever.
That is so beautiful and just the right note to end on today. Sheru, I have so many other questions for you. I know I'm going to have you back. So let's look at the calendar and figure out when it's going to be because I think we have a lot more things to talk about. I want to thank
Thank you, Anna.
Sheru. I want to thank Sheru Mukhtar, CEO of IAM Houston, for being our guest today and look forward to having you back. I also want to mention that Amplified Houston is supported in part by The Cottage Shop, a thrift store located at 811 Westheimer in Houston, which is owned and operated by the Women's Home, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Proceeds from The Cottage Shop pay for programs that help women reclaim their lives. Further information can be found at thewomenshome.org/cottageshop and at 713-526-4663. Be sure to stay tuned for Gulf Streams with Weston Twardowski for the latest environmental and climate news in the Gulf Coast region and beyond. This is Anna Coffey, CEO of the Women's Home. Over and out.
It's now or never. Come hold me tight. Kiss me.
It's time now for your good news for a good planet, the charging road. With the price of oil consistently going up, coupled with greater global awareness about reducing carbon emissions, gas guzzlers will soon be a thing of the past, and electric vehicles, or EVs, will be the predominant car of the future. The market for electrics is expanding and making most of the cost of vehicles and batteries more affordable and more widely available.